The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
We have a situation where we're looking very strongly at sinks and showers and other elements of bathrooms where you turn the faucet on in areas where there's tremendous amounts of water, where the water rushes out to sea because you could never handle it, and you don't get any water. You turn on the faucet, you don't get any water. They take a shower and water comes dripping out, just dripping out, very quietly dripping out. People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times, as opposed to once. They end up using more.
This is a test of the emergency Ron broadcast system. This is only a test.
Beep. There, is that good enough?
This has been a test of the emergency Ron broadcast system. In the event of an actual emergency, Ron would already be in his bunker, where he's stockpiled enough whiskey and croutons to last him for the next 5 to 6 years. We return you now to the Ron Van Dam Show, already in progress.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh my gosh.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Look at the size of this program. It's huge, isn't it? Look at it. You know what I always say? If you only listen to one program, you've only listened to one program. Sit back, relax. I'll take it from here. This will be about a half hour long, just so you can time it out in case you have other stuff to do. This shouldn't impose upon you too greatly. Not too bad. Maybe a little bit, maybe a lot. I will also inform you. I like to inform you. I like to tell you things. I like to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, look behind you. That kind of thing. I think I've proved that we have a theme song. Thank you very much. Hey, you crazy bastard. Welcome to the show. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. In the meantime, I'll be talking. This is, I guess, a TED Talk, only my name isn't Ted. So it's a Ron Talk. I don't understand what TED Talk means, to be honest with you. It's a phrase that came out. Nobody ever explained it. It's when somebody who has an opinion or is an expert on something stands in front of a room of poor schmucks and talks for like incessantly, like for 2 hours about a topic. And I guess it started by a guy named Ted. Well, let me tell you something. People have been standing in front of rooms talking to people for centuries. Way back in Roman times, they used to do this. But I don't think the guy's name was Ted. I don't get this Ted thing. And who's named Ted anyway? How many Teds do you know? The only Ted I know is Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt, ladies and gentlemen. The only Ted I know is Teddy Roosevelt and Teddy Bear. Beyond that, I don't know a Ted. Besides, I don't want to know a Ted. Like I've gone through life, I can only make this life a successful life with meaning if I meet somebody named Ted. You never go to a cocktail mixer where they have those little labels on your lapel, you know, that say, hello, my name is Ted. No one's named Ted. That doesn't happen. Ever been to one of those cocktail mixers? They're a little embarrassing for guys, and I'll tell you why. If you're a guy and you're at a cocktail mixer, the place where they mix cocktails, and where people gather around and talk to each other, guys wear a little badge on their lapel. They're made up by somebody that can't spell or has incredibly bad penmanship. And it says, hello, my name is, gives the person's name and then underneath the company that they're representing. This happens at every cocktail mixer kind of gathering. The guys wear them on their lapel, which is perfectly fine. It ruins the lapel on the jacket because the adhesive. I cannot talk. The adhesive on the back of the label usually ruins your lapel. But you wear that for the guys. The girls, it's not so easy because girls don't always wear lapels, jackets. They have dresses on and tops. And I know where the top goes. Could it be on the top? And girls also wear bottoms. It's so stupid. Yeah. Or we're selling bottoms. Oh, okay. What else do you sell? Tops. We sell tops and we sell bottoms. But I never hear of bottoms. That's because we do better with the tops. Anyway, the girls, the ladies, are wearing tops. But where do you put their label? It's right above their left boob. And so when you're talking to a woman at a cocktail mixer and you want to call her by her name or see what company she's with, you need to stare at her left boob. It's quite uncomfortable for a guy because no matter what you do to gain information about who this person is, what is their name? You're accused of staring at them sexually. No, I'm looking at your label. I love it that humans have labels, you know. Oh, man, what the hell am I talking about? What subject was I talking about? There wasn't any. Is this what the show's going to be like? Just rambling on like Ted does? TED Talks. I've mentioned this before. I admire these entrepreneurs that stand up in front of a crowd of thousands of people, and they've done nothing really but stand on a stage in front of thousands of people. And these entrepreneurs are called motivational speakers. It's amazing. All they have to do is be motivational, which means you raise your voice and you have like an incredible amount of self-confidence, and you would have had to have done something that a lot of people really can't do that frequently or ever in their lifetime. And you get up on stage and you speak to all these people that have paid at least $100 a piece. This is where the money comes in. This is why it's an entrepreneurial kind of occupation. You stand there and you talk, you pace back and forth. You have to know how to pace. Part of talking on a stage to thousands of people as a motivational speaker, part of it is pacing. You have to know how to pace. Not pace your speech, but pace your feet. You have to pace back and forth like some kind of a lost ping pong ball. And when you're pacing, people are watching you because it's the only thing that you're going to do that has any movement to it. I have a lot of trouble sitting in an audience looking at somebody that just stands there for an hour. I can't do it. Sometimes I'll go to a comedy club and watch a comedian stand there. I used to do that for a short period of time until I realized it was incredibly defeating my personality ego. Yeah, when you're standing on stage talking to somebody, you have to look out and see that people are pretty much not interested or incredibly interested, and that's the only motivation you have. So you're on stage talking about something that makes no sense to anybody else, and you're doing your motivational speech, and they've paid hundreds of dollars, and you've been talking long enough now for about, well, over an hour. And the last line of every motivational speech is, "Now go out there and do it." That's the last line, no matter what they're talking about. Now go out there and do it. And all the people, the 1,000 people sitting there listening to the motivational speech, they turn around and they leave the auditorium and they get in their cars and they're motivated to do exactly what the motivational speech was about. Half an hour later, they have no idea what they just heard. They're not motivated. They're in the bar getting shit-faced, completely forgetting the motivation. I think it was Woody Allen that said, Why are people judging me? I think he said that once. I think it was, I don't know if it was Woody Allen, it was some personality. They said, success is 98% motivation. And I thought, wow, that's not true. I think it's 97%. I don't think it's 98. I think that's an exaggeration of the effectiveness of the motivational speech. But if you're motivated to do something, your chances of doing it are much better than if you're not motivated to do it at all. And we don't need examples of people that aren't motivated because you can just look in the mirror. Ron, would you rather sit in a chair or would you rather go mow the lawn? Wow, that's a tough one. Gotta think about that for a while. Let me sit here in the chair while I think about that. Obviously, we'd rather sit in a chair. And that's why our future is pretty much done with. I mean, because this generation, the Generation P, Generation X, Generation W, the baby boomers, the not-so-booming babies, the babies not booming, all those generations, this particular generation has no reason to live. They don't do anything. They sit in a chair in front of a computer screen 24/7. And it's not that they're playing video games, which they are also, but it's not that they're doing that. They're doing their job. Their occupation is to sit in a chair and stare at a screen for 8 hours. That's their job. That's what it is. That can't be right, but it is. You don't have to go out to eat anymore. You just text. You don't even have to talk to anybody. You don't even have to call a place and order a meal anymore or say, I like the fried chicken. I'll come pick it up in an hour. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to deal with anybody. You just press some buttons on your little stupid phone and you don't have to interact. You just touch things with the end of your finger. And you don't have to go get the food. You don't have to go get the item. It'll be delivered to you. I don't feel like going to the store. It's too much of an effort. I have to put my socks on and all that stuff and put my pants on, put my bottoms on. You don't have to do that anymore. No. They'll bring it to you. You can sit in your chair for more than half an hour, like the rest of your life. You don't have to get up to the television to change the channel or make it louder or softer. You can press the remote. That's been around for a while. That was the harbinger of death. Remote controls. That was the harbinger of death. You don't have to do anything anymore. It will come to you. Amazon will even bring it to you for free so far. You don't have to go out to shop. You don't have to go out to get food. You don't have to do anything anymore. Just sit in the damn chair and shut the hell up. See, that's the problem. Sitting in the damn chair is bad enough. But you have to shut the hell up. That's the good part. So, where is our generation headed? Well, to the crapper. As a matter of fact, at one point, the former president of the United States, this Trump guy, heard of him? Yeah, he spent like a long time on the campaign trail talking about water pressure and how when people take showers, the water trickles out, and when you flush the toilet, not everything goes down. This was a presidential campaign! And yet, he became president. So, where are we headed, ladies and gentlemen? Down that toilet that won't flush. That's where we're going. Anyway, I have talked about the 17 different subjects in the space of one breath. This is amazingly ridiculous. I could be a motivational speaker. I'll just do my radio show on a stage in an extended period of time. But Ron, what's the motivation? People will leave being motivated not to go to motivational speeches anymore. That's your motivation. If I did motivational speaking in the middle of a large city and had thousands of people sitting there, all the bars and cocktail lounges within about 100 feet of the venue would do incredible business. Every single one of those thousands of people listening to my TED Talk, even though that's not my name, would go directly to the bar to get shit-faced, because what else can you do? Everybody in the room would say, yeah, I need a drink. I need a drink. There's a bottle of whiskey with my name on it somewhere. I need a drink. I would do tremendous business for the bars. The bars would love me. Ron, when are you going to do another TED Talk? Our business is booming after you speak. They come right out of the venue and come right into the bar. Keep it up, Ron. We love you, baby. Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. All right, I have a guest coming up momentarily, and I hope that you'll enjoy the guest. I don't know that you will. I have no idea what your reaction is to things. You know who I hate? Oh, I'll tell you who I hate. And I know I use the word hate, and hate is a very strong, nasty word, and you shouldn't use it ever unless I do it first. Here's what I absolutely hate. When you go to a show, like a play or a movie or a TED Talk or a motivational speech, any place, or a sporting event, especially, and there's that one person, it's usually a girl, could be a guy, it's interchangeable, and when something happens on the field or on the stage that they like, here's the sound they make. Woo! They do a woo sound, which pierces my ears and is so stupid. Don't woo. Don't make that loud screeching, yelling sound. Some people scream. They scream in delight. The only time you should scream is when someone is accosting you with a knife. That's the only time you should scream, or when you're incredibly scared or you need immediate help because you're terrified. You don't scream out of delight. Who screams out of delight? You've got your reactions all mixed up. Little kids in a pool, they scream. Why, do you think you're going to drown any minute? What are you screaming about? Well, they're having a good time, Ron. And they're demonstrating it by screaming? You don't understand what the scream is for. You know, if you hear somebody screaming in the street, you'd probably not get up and help them. You'd probably just say, oh, there's someone having a good time. No, they're being accosted. They're being kidnapped. They're being abducted. They're screaming outside. They're screaming in the street. Ah, they're just having a good time. That's when people scream. It's when they have a good time. No, see, you ruin the scream thing. You ruin the scream thing. Screaming is an alert to call the police, do something. Not, hey, everybody, I'm having a great time. We got this all messed up. We really do. Messed up. Messed up bad. Stop screaming. It's annoying. You're making my ears bleed. Cut it out. Stop it. You people are really killing me. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more program. But first, there's this.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Andrea McCarron is joining us. She's president of PenFed, the foundation. And Sergeant Trill, if I may call you, Paulin, thanks for being here, the CEO and founder of Free to Feed. Thanks for being here. We're talking about something that we've talked about on this program quite a few times, and I love the subject because it's an uplifting and really true deal. And that's people who are transitioning from the front lines to form their own front line, actually, in a sense. Andrea, thanks for being with us. Tell us about this.
I think no one is more deserving of our support than our nation's veterans. You know, Ron, it's just not enough to thank a veteran for his or her service. We need to demonstrate our gratitude through action, and that's exactly what the PenFed Foundation is doing by supporting veteran entrepreneurs like Trill. And so we thought it was really important to commission this study to discover the top 20 cities in the United States for veteran entrepreneurs. And, you know, number one, two, and three, Raleigh, North Carolina, where ironically Trill is from. Mm-hmm. Number two is Austin. Number three, Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And what we did is dive into the livability, you know, the cost of living, the quality of schools, affordability of housing and daycare, the economic growth of a city, the support for veterans, and the ability to start a business. As you know, it's tough to be an entrepreneur, so we look at the success rate. And we came up with a really interesting list this year that's really been different from previous studies.
Very interesting. Trill, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, you're transitioning into life again. Were you getting into the movement in order to help veterans after you found the path to do it, or as soon as you got out, you said I'm going to create a path here, or both?
Oh, that's a great question. Probably both. So when I returned from overseas in 2008, mm-hmm. I decided that I wanted to make the most of the opportunities afforded to me, and I pursued a PhD in cellular molecular biology. Oh. It was actually in my last year of grad school that we decided to start our family, which is a really fun time to have a baby while you're writing a dissertation. Mm-hmm. And so I am at school finishing my PhD as an Army veteran, and our oldest daughter was inconsolable when she was born. And mm-hmm. we took her in and expressed concern. And at that stage, we were told that she had colic and there wasn't really anything we could do about it. Mm-hmm. And at only 3 weeks old, we woke up to find her completely covered in eczema from head to toe. Ooh. With Ooh. Pardon to the audience, a very bloody diaper. And we then took her back and said, okay, we broke her, but now what do we do? And even at that stage, I was told that it could be that she was having an allergic reaction to something in my diet. Uh-huh. And even as a protein expert, going to school, literally studying protein analysis, I had no idea that something that I consumed could transfer from my diet to my breast milk and elicit that kind of allergic response in my daughter. Right. And it wasn't until my second daughter was born with the same problem that I kind of opened my eyes and started looking around for programs just like the PenFed VEEP program in order to take this veteran and scientist and lay the foundation of knowledge that I would need to then create a company that would help parents navigate this problem.
Whoa. Cool. Congrats. Wow.
Thank you.
You know, I've always said that veterans have qualities that you can't get anywhere else, really. And that would be making good decisions fast, being a leader, taking care, the teamwork that you have when you're in the services, you work together, that's the basis for any success. All those qualities really make a great, successful business entrepreneur.
And here's another element to that, yeah. which is fascinating, mm-hmm. and that is, and not really surprising, that veterans who run their own businesses are far more likely to employ other veterans because they see what you
right.
and I do.
Right.
Their perseverance, their grit, their skill set, their leadership, their total community asset.
It's absolutely true. Do they necessarily need any help? Do doors have to be opened for them, or is it just a question of looking at something and saying, I'm going to get it?
Fantastic question. You know, like any startup business, they can all use our help. It is tough to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And so that's why the PenFed Foundation created this Veteran Entrepreneur Investment Program, where we provide capital, we provide mentoring, and we provide education, ongoing education, mm-hmm. because they need our support. But I would also truly recommend to your listeners, if you know of a veteran-owned business in your community, support it. I know I do. Everything the PenFed Foundation does, every bit of merchandise we purchase is made in America, mm-hmm. ideally from a veteran-owned and operated company.
Excellent. Do veterans know of all the possibilities necessarily when they return?
Yeah, Rob, that's a really good question, and I'd love to double down on what Andrew said in that not only do I 100% agree with you that veteran entrepreneurs have a lot of those skills that we truly need in order to push forward with our business,
yep.
To include also a lot of perspective, I think, is what I can also bring to the table, and empathy that some others may not from their own personal experiences. And one thing that is interesting is that when you come back from overseas or when you come back from active duty and you're transitioning, is that while there are organizations that try to, you know, inform you about what is available to you, unfortunately, a lot of that availability comes by way of network. And many of us coming out of military service don't have that network yet,
right.
of the proper people around us in the entrepreneurship space,
right.
specifically. And that's where the VEAT program from the PenFed Foundation was so incredibly impactful for Free to Feed specifically, because while, yes, I bring all of those skills to the table, what I didn't have was the right network around me to support me.
Yeah. I mean, we should have a giant employment agency for veterans who are transitioning back, because, I mean, I would hire a veteran over somebody that didn't have any experience in life. I mean, I don't understand why it's a problem, but unfortunately it is. But organizations like what both of you are connected to make that possible so that there is no misunderstanding. I assume I have that correct.
100%. And I would also mention that one of the things that the PenFed Foundation, through this VEAT program, has done is help me to translate. I think part of the disconnect that you mentioned between mm-hmm. those who are veterans and those who are hiring is communication. And so being able to properly communicate with those hiring agencies or those organizations and companies truly what skills I do bring to the table, because on the military side, it's a whole other language, essentially, than it is on the business side.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The organizations such as the PenFed Foundation that can help me understand exactly what it is that I bring to the table and then translate that into communication styles that actually resonates with the entrepreneurship and investor side of this entire enterprise.
Yeah.
And to echo that, you know, we all see a lot of resumes, and I never want a veteran to underestimate their value and their skill set.
Right.
And, you know, like Trill said, sometimes they just need to translate what they learned in the military to the civilian world.
Exactly.
And I think we all need to do a better job mentoring them across the country. But I really appreciate what you've been saying, that you understand the tremendous value they bring to the table.
Oh, it's as simple as you open a door and I'll walk through it. I think
and thrive.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. Okay, where do we go for more information?
Absolutely. You can see the full study and whether your city made the top 20 list at PenFedFoundation.org. That's PenFed Foundation.org. And you can also see all of the data we studied to make our analysis final. But thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you to the both of you. Appreciate the time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. If you enjoyed this program, I don't know if that's possible, but if you did, please click on the little thing that says like or follow or subscribe or something, click on it. My social media manager says I must request this every once in a while. Okay, I don't know why, but I'm requesting it. Hey, you follow me, I'll follow you, and we'll go in a big circle. This is so stupid, I can't believe it. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Again, tomorrow, please more. Until then, I wish you peace. This is so ridiculous, I can't believe it.